We'll be reading a few verses tonight from Ephesians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul reminds us of the resurrection that we've all been a part of. There's a resurrection we can be grateful for, and a resurrected life that we need to remember to continue to live. We all understand the nature of our new birth, how it involves a death, burial, and resurrection, that we're born again into the family of Christ as a child of God, and that that resurrection is from the death that we caused or brought about when we crucified the old man in his ways, the sins of our past, and we came forth to live the life compliant with God's will in the footsteps of the Lord, seeking holiness and purity in our living, striving to glorify God through that kind of life. And so here he writes to those who have been changed, and he urges them to continue in the course that is godlike. Beginning in verse 1, he says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Now think about what he's just said. This is how you once were. At one time, you were dead. So spiritually, no hope whatsoever. Spiritually, if you're spiritually dead, that means you're headed for hell. You're lost. You have no hope. Eternal torment is your future. That's what they were headed for. They were, past tense, dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked. What does that mean? It was their mode of living. They lived for it. They continued in it. It was what they persisted in instead of what they're doing now, what they've got to keep doing, because you can revert back to how you once did things. You can go back and persist in what you had come out of. So he's talking about how they once walked according to what? The course of this world. That is the easy path, right? The world and what everybody's doing, the people all around you each and every day, just go along to get along and to not ruffle any feathers or not stand out, because it's not easy to be strange or peculiar or considered odd when you are a faithful Christian in a world that is not that way. So they once lived that way according to the course of this world. And then look what he says. According, and this is where it really, this is the bottom line of what you're really doing. It's according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Who's that? He's talking about Satan. That you are basically living according to the one who has power in this world, so to speak. Satan, who has his way with men. He seeks to destroy men by using the various means at his disposal, various temptations and trials and so forth. But notice what he calls those who are currently living that way. Sons of disobedience. He says that's what you used to be. Sons of disobedience. Now they were, and we are, sons of God. Daughters of God. Children of God. And he said, continuing that thought, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So he points out, all of us really in our past at various times gratified self. We did what we wanted to do. We sought the pleasures that could come to the mind and to the flesh, and we gratified those. We just did what we wanted. That's how we all lived. And we were, he says, notice, by nature, children of wrath just as the others. So we were like everybody else. Children of wrath means you're subject to the wrath of God because of how you're living. You're choosing to live in violation of his will. And notice he's writing to those who have come out of that, those who are presently Christians. And then he talks about, look at what has happened. He's trying to impress upon theirs and our minds, look at where you've come from, and now look at where you are, and think about just how blessed you are, and hold on to that. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So here we are, and we have been by God while we were lost in our sins, in that spiritual state of death. God took us from there and purified us and set us in His heavenly kingdom. We're citizens of a kingdom that has no end. We are here on this earth, but we're going to be part of that throng of people that have served God since the beginning, that were faithful under each dispensation, but who are citizens together of that great kingdom because of this mercy of God. That's been from the beginning, that God has been a merciful God, desiring all to be saved, longing to give life to each and every one of us. So this is what He's saying that we have. Notice verse 7, that in the ages to come, what is going to happen based on what God has done? In the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. There are things in store, wonderful things, things that we don't have full revelation in regard to, but we know a magnificent and unimaginable reward awaits the faithful that God has prepared, and it's preserved and it's ready and it's waiting for us. But there is an expectation of, look at what you have to do. Look at how you should live, and remember what God has done to save you. Here you were dead, living according to your own ways. You rejected God, you did your selfish ways, but He has brought you to this place of beauty, and He has something wonderful waiting for you. Let's think about that as we live each and every day, and with gratitude in our hearts, and with a realization of the purity that God has brought us to. Strive to live as people who have been raised up together with Christ to sit in the heavenly places. We are a royal people. Think about that. You are a child of God. You are heirs of wonderful things awaiting you. We need to live that way. That reflects our nobility and our holiness that is to be reflected in our character and our conduct and all that we do, because we are God's people and He has such wonderful things awaiting us. If you're not a child of God tonight, think about the fact that you can, with a decision that you make, transform your life to one of tremendous hope, going from lost, without hope, to, as we saw tonight, saved and with God and with great hope of things to come. And this is what happens when we give our hearts to the Lord and we say, not my way anymore, not how I used to be, but how You want me to be. Every day I'm going to strive to grow in that and to be that way. And when we choose that, then we're choosing life, we're choosing hope, we're choosing a wonderful future, even though we have a difficult life before us. See through it and see what we really have that goes beyond this earthly existence and the visible things, to beyond the veil, to what lies in store for us. Set our hopes, we must, on those things so that we will see past what Satan uses in this life to tempt us, to draw us away and to confuse us, to get us off track. Because God wants for you eternal life and eternal reward, and for a father to have all of His children together with Him forever, for all eternity. If you believe in Jesus Christ, are willing to turn from your sins in repentance, confess your faith in Him, be baptized that your sins might be washed away, you can become a part of that family tonight. And if you've done those things already, but you want to restore that lost love, or you need to turn away from sin in your life, or become more zealous for Him, whatever your needs may be, your Christian family is here awaiting your expression of need, and we will pray for you and help you as we stand and sing.